Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Unscripted Wrestling, most controversial wrestling podcast in the world. This is our top 10 WCW worst moments. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel Hummer, here with Doug and Eric. And Clint will be joining us soon if he hasn't already.
Hey, what's up?
How's everyone doing?
How you doing?
Good.
Yo.
Yo. So before we get right in, Doug, you want to list off the plugs and what we're doing next week?
Sure, since you asked. So make sure you listen to Anthony Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night, 10 o'clock Eastern Time, Mixler.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all podcast platforms. They also do a show every other Saturday called the Hollywood Hangout. They're probably going to be doing something. They're probably going to be doing something tomorrow for Double or Nothing, either a live reaction show as the show's going on, or they'll do a post show. It usually varies. Usually varies on how late Boxman can stay up because he's old. But
I think you said they're going on a live reaction.
Yeah, just kidding, Box. I love you. So make sure you listen to them. Of course, we are on Friday nights, unless something drastically changes, like last week. But usually Friday nights, usually around 8 o'clock Eastern Time, here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us on all podcast platforms. That is the regular Unscripted Wrestling Show. And Sundays, usually around 5 o'clock Eastern Time, also Blog Talk Radio. You can find our This Week in Wrestling Show, where we discuss all major wrestling news stories of the week. This week is this Sunday. We're going to have a lot to talk about as we will be reviewing AEW's Double or Nothing. We're going to talk about the Owen Hart Dark Side of the Ring. The tragic events that happened this past week with Shad Gaspard, as well as any other news subjects that have taken place. And next week on the Unscripted Wrestling Show, we will be doing another edition of Fantasy Warfare. I am getting to work on the match list things. I got something special planned out for that. I'm not necessarily going to let anybody in on it just yet, at least not until I finish it. I'll just say that I'm going to make sure that MJF and Sami Zayn is not a match that happens. So, all right, Dan.
All right, guys, top 10 worst WCW moments. We'll each be going through our own list. We're going to start at 10, and then we're each going to give our 10, and then at the end, Eric's going to give the fan vote, and then we'll go through the 9s, the 8s, and so forth. Sound good?
Yep, sounds good.
Yep.
And nobody better to start us off. Clinith, what's your number 10 worst WCW moment?
I will have to go with Booker T. I think it was David Arquette. He took it on in the steel cage match. An episode of Nitro with the WCW championship where Goldberg got interfered, speared. I think David Arquette or who.
Oh, that was Russo. Russo.
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Talk about that a little bit, Doug.
Me or him? Oh, so that was the September 25th, 2000 episode of Nitro.
Yeah.
And basically, it was in, I think it was in Long Island or Staten Island or some island in New York. And Russo basically, well, Clintus, why did it make your list?
Why did it make it? Oh.
Russo,
well, it's his pick. He should get to explain it. I shouldn't have to explain everything.
My miraculous, I really just thought at the time that it was coming off the era where I think Vince writers was involving themselves into the whole script whatsoever. And that time, it was just like, it was taking people, like, good talent. Like, you still have Scott Steiner, Booker T, everybody else. Like, you can't come in on its own. You don't really need the writers to go into the script itself to win a title and hold it or do whatever, especially doing that. No. That's one reason why.
Okay. And I'm sure that this moment is going to be making other people's lists. It'll be making mine later on. That's for sure.
Definitely make mine.
Here's the thing. Like, if you go back and watch the match, there was so much interference in that match, but, like, you had people returning. Like, Flair kind of came back after being gone for a while. Lex Luger made his return. So, like, those were okay moments, but, yeah, this was – it was an ass moment.
Absolutely.
Give your number, Ted.
All right. My number 10 is actually a match. It goes all the way back to the Fall Brawl 1995. It's Cobra versus Sergeant Craig Pitbull Pittman. The match lasted about 45 seconds, and it was dog shit. I mean, basically, the backstory behind this match is the character of Craig Pitbull Pittman is a former Marine. Okay, he's a Marine sergeant. And this guy, Cobra, real name Jeff Farmer, comes in. He's a mysterious guy from Pittman's past. And he said he's coming for revenge on the way Pittman treated him in the Corps. So he comes in, and they're going to have this match. Well, Pittman tricked him. Pittman came down from the ceiling while Cobra was distracted by somebody he thought was Pittman coming down the ramp. And Pittman jumped him from behind, and like 45 seconds later, he beat him. And the match was dog shit. So, and I never got the Cobra character. I thought he sucked. I mean, he was really awful when they got him to play the fake Sting later on. So, yeah, that's my number 10.
Cool.
All right. Eric, you got a number 10?
Yes, I did. Vince Russo promo on Hogan at Bash at the Beach 2000. I thought this was we haven't seen Vince Russo on TV a lot. This was one of the first times he was on TV, and this was an actual real, like, hate promo because – Russo and Hogan don't like each other, right?
Yeah. That wasn't scripted. That was a shoot.
This was a real shoot. This was and he got into a little more backstory of the locker room, and so I thought this was and this is gonna tie into one of my other moments on this list too later on. So I'll talk about it more later.
Okay. My top 10 is Kevin Nash beating Goldberg for the WCW title at Starrcade. This is one of...
And it's streak, right?
Yeah, it's the ending of the streak. And this is one of three Starrcade main events that made my list.
Wow.
So that should tell you something. Maybe it's not the worst moment if it was booked right, but I didn't feel like using the finger poke of doom because I think everybody's probably going to use that. So I figured I'd go with this instead because this led up to the finger poke of doom. And if this wouldn't have happened, the finger poke of doom wouldn't have happened. And they killed off Goldberg for no good fucking reason. So it was – they should have built up a new – young monster heel and had him beat Goldberg. But instead, they stroked Kevin Nash's ego. So that's my number 10.
Yep.
Eric, you want to go ahead with the fan vote?
Yeah, it's Jeff Jarrett laying down with Hogan at Bash the Beach. It's tied in with Vince Russo promo And then title of that is Chucky cutting promo on Rick Steiner. I forget what Nitro that was, but it was the Chucky doll.
And that's all tied?
Yeah.
Okay. Clint, if you want to give us your number nine.
Oh, man. My number nine. Well, actually, was going to be Eric Bischoff's shoot on Vincent McMahon. Man, at the pay-per-view, he was supposed to be, it was built up that he challenged Vince McMahon in a cool match. After the B-show was?
Yeah.
No, he challenged McMahon to a match at Slamboree.
Slamboree, yeah.
This is how much you know. I don't really, how fast. I just know when, never will, how. That was number nine right there. The whole promo he did. And the build up was because everybody knew Vince wasn't going to answer the call. There was no cross over brands. That was never going to happen. And it was something that was built up just to lead to a huge disappointment, which it was.
Number nine for Dougie.
Okay, my number nine is Sting gets attacked by Rottweilers at the Great American Bash 1999. It was a match between Rick Steiner and Sting for the TV title. Tank Abbott was the special guest referee. Well, Tank Abbott was aligned with Rick Steiner at that time. And they fight in the back, and all of a sudden these Rottweilers get released and go after Sting. And they make it look like he's being bit by these Rottweilers. But as you could clearly see, the fucking dogs went nowhere near him. It was poorly done, and it looked like shit.
It looked like shit.
I don't need to hear myself again.
I don't
again.
Need to hear
myself
again.
So,
my number nine?
Yeah, right?
Yep, go ahead, Eric.
Yeah. My number nine is them using Scott Hall's real-life problems into a storyline. I don't think you should use somebody's real-life problems in a storyline. I think that's dog shit, and I think that's
Go
just terrible.
Fuck yourself.
Huh?
Nothing.
Oh.
Put you in the family. Who's that? Took out my fucking picks. I agree with that, though. I actually have the same thing, except it's a little farther down my list. It's not a stranger. If you're a stranger to pro wrestling, everybody knows that Scott Hall has battled with alcoholism and drug abuse. So the fact that they use that as an angle is just downright ridiculous and insensitive.
Yeah. They should have just let him deal with his problems outside of wrestling instead of inside of wrestling, too.
My number nine would be the debut of Seven. That would be Dustin Rhodes. One of the times he left WWE. Why are you playing with your belly button, Doug? When Dustin Rhodes, he left WWE, he was tired of Goldust, and he came over there. And he was supposed to be this, it's kind of like a knockoff Undertaker, and he's dressed in, he's got all white face paint, and he's dressed in black clothes, and he floats to the ring, basically. But then when he gets to the ring, he does a shoot that the game's fucking stupid. He said it was just like Goldust, and Goldust almost killed his career. And the whole moment was just stupid because Goldust didn't kill his career. It made his career. And this whole thing was just dumb. Obviously, there was no communication because – and I think it was a work for him to shoot, which is even more stupid. Like, I don't think that was an actual shoot. I think that was scripted for him to go off script. So, either way you look at it, fucking stupid.
Well, yeah, exactly. And here's the thing, is that, like, Russo probably went to Dustin and said, hey, I need you to shoot on me because I just fired your daddy.
Yeah. All right, you want to get the fan vote, Eric?
Yep. Fan vote is Dusty Rhodes joining the NWO at Sold Out 98. Long time face. Dusty Rhodes turns his back on WCW and joins the NWO. This was a big story back then. Wasn't it? Yeah. He was a long time face,
just,
so baby face.
It didn't make sense. You know, it just... It was stupid because Dusty's one of the guys that should be fighting the NWO. NWO stands for
exactly.
Everything that Dusty's against. So the turning him heel and having him join just did not make much sense at all.
And that's when NWO was going downhill, too. So it's like they were desperate, I guess.
Well, here's the thing about the Dusty Rhodes deal. The Dusty Rhodes deal was, I think it was just a way to get him off commentary. Because as far as I know, Bischoff didn't like his commentary. So I think it was just a way to get him off the commentary team.
Okay.
I think that's why they did it. Did it make sense? No. I mean, to be honest with you, I was okay with it back then because that meant that Dusty didn't have to do any commentary. I was not a fan of Dusty Rhodes' commentary.
Yeah, he wasn't that great. I mean, he's a great... Outside that, but he wasn't great on commentary. But I see why
no.
he did it.
So, I mean, I get why they did it, and I was okay with it. But, yeah, I mean, they didn't need any more NWO members. They already had, like, 55 to begin with.
Exactly.
All right, Quinn, if you want to get to your number 8.
Yeah. I'm going with the storyline about how the NWO kidnapped Miss Elizabeth to force Randy Savage to join the NWO. In a way. Yeah, that's going to be my number 8 right there. That, to me, I think, knowing how big fan was, because WCW Savage and Hogan was like one of my favorites in WCW more than WWE more. Sadly to say, put it out there. And using the Miss Elizabeth's storyline, this is almost in a way trying to force Hogan and Savage to become a team again, knowing that it seemed like he didn't really want to do it at all. Even after the Mega Powers, they even tried teaming up together. But as heels, I don't think the whole thing should have just gone their two separate ways. I didn't think Savage
right.
really didn't need to be part of the NWO.
I agree with that.
All right. Third, Doug.
Well, let me just say this real quick about that number 8. The worst part, I think, about that thing was not only them trying to get Savage to join the NWO by using Elizabeth, but also the fact that, like, they used it to kind of screw his mind up before Hogan and Savage had the title match at the 96 Halloween Havoc. And, like, if you go back and watch that, like, Eric Bischoff presenting that video footage of Elizabeth sitting on the swing where she's telling Randy how much she loves him and all that. It's just, like, you go back and you look at that, especially after, like, when Bischoff joined the NWO, it's just, like, aha, that's where it should have clicked right there that Eddie Haskell, you know, joined the NWO.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, here's this guy, Savage, who we want to win the WCW World title, but the president of the fucking company is showing him footage that's going to send him over the fucking edge. That, to me, that's what makes it a bad WCW moment.
they used something that was real. Because Savage in real life still loved Elizabeth. And they were fucking with
right.
the head at the point. At that point. She was no longer in love with him. She was secretly Lex Luger already at that point.
Wow.
All right. Eight is from September 2000 edition of WCW Monday Nitro. It is the ladder match for a duck. It is Conan and Rey Mysterio Jr. of the Filthy Animals versus the Boogie Knights, Alex Wright and the Disco Inferno. And Disco had this duck that he carried around with him. The Filthy Animals stole it, and they said, let's have a ladder match for the duck. Won the match, but afterwards, Alex and Disco got the duck back and said, guys, with the fucking duck.
Wow.
It's just like, what the fuck?
Yike.
It was
that was in 2000?
No. Huh?
That was in 2000?
Yeah. It's just like, it was so bad. Well, first of all, the ladder matches are fine. And this was actually a decent ladder match, but the fact that it was for a duck, just so. And I think that this might have been actually one of the last episodes of Nitro that Russo wrote.
Really?
I believe it is.
Okay. Eric, you want to get into yours?
Good. Yeah, my number eight has to do with Vince Russo again. New Blood versus the Million Dollar Club storyline that started on April 10th when him and Eric Bischoff joined forces. And he made, wasn't that his first appearance on television, I believe?
Vince Russo. That was Russo's first appearance on television, yeah. I mean, everybody knew who
he
was.
Yeah. I mean, he came down to the ring, everybody in the ring, he stripped all the titles, him and Bischoff stripped all the titles, and basically he started over, and then it started that feud with Million Dollar Club with, who was part of Million Dollar Club with Old Blood, Kevin Nash, who was it, Kevin Nash,
Hogan,
Luger?
Hogan, Sting,
Hogan.
Luger, DDP, Flair, Sid Vicious was there for a night.
Goldberg?
Kurt Hennig.
Yeah.
Those
yeah,
are like the main guys
with
involved.
Crap.
So.
Well, you were actually a fan of it, Doug, so.
Well, I was a fan of, like the Slamboree 2000 pay-per-view. I thought the majority of the pay-per-view was good. By Great American Bash 2000, that's when it started turning into shit. And I'll get into that later.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, in about... Eric, can I stop echoing, please?
Yeah, hold on.
I can kind of hear it a little bit in the background.
Is that better?
Okay. Should be. The guy that's the voice on the thing that says muted sounds like Clinton. Clinton, do you work for Blog Talk Radio?
Huh?
Do you do voiceover work for Blog Talk Radio?
No.
No.
Well, this guy sounds like you.
All right, so
anyway.
My number eight would be the debut of Oklahoma.
Oh, God.
Ed Ferreira, his unfortunate mockery of Jim Ross and the Oklahoma character originally. I believe they took out the Bell's Palsy after, right?
Eventually they did, yeah.
by the time he won the Cruiserweight Championship.
Yeah.
But in his debut, he had cerebral palsy. And it was whatever. Oh, yeah. Those are two different things. So, so Bell's palsy, and they were really making fun of JR, and it was really mean-spirited and harsh. And
yeah, it was.
It's just one of the most fucked up things still today. Vince Russo's never liked JR. He's always hated him. And those two can personally just go fuck themselves. Ed Ferrara and Russo. Shitty moment.
Yeah, I agree with that.
It was a shitty shot. It was just meant to be a shot, and it was a shitty one. And that was in the middle of the pinata on a pole match, right?
Yeah.
Which could be considered a worse moment in its own right.
Yeah, definitely.
So
yeah.
All of that was just pure garbage. You want to get into the fan vote, Eric?
Yeah, it's the same as my number 8, so it's New Blood versus Million Dollar Club storyline. So.
Okay. Clinith, you're number 7.
Number 7 was the ending of Goldberg's streak. We already talked about that, but that was my. Oh, Kevin Nash.
Oh, okay.
That.
All right.
What a way.
Well, since we already got into that a little bit, 7 is when David Arquette won the WCW World Title, April 26, 2000. And this moment was,
I mean, I get it. They were basically, they were promoting,
Ready to Rumble. And I get that. And that, you know, that's fine, I guess. But, well, I don't mind them promoting the movie. I mind how they did it. Arquette should not be WCW World Champion.
It was a mockery to the belt.
Yeah.
And all the guys that helped.
Exactly.
I mean, the only saving grace about it is nobody was watching Thunder at the time, so.
It also made DDP look like a fucking idiot because he was the champion and he was cool with Arquette taking the belt.
Yeah. No, well, first of all, DDP was already made to look like an idiot at the time because that's when, you know, because that was already after he started wife swapping with Bischoff.
In real life?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Bischoff and Paige used to take turns with each other's wives.
That's not a real fact.
Wait, you don't. Well, yeah, it came from Sonny. Never mind.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but, you know, Bischoff's wife wasn't that bad looking either, so I could believe, you know, somebody wanting to take turns, you know, taking her for
a
spin.
Are we talking Kimberly?
Kimberly and Bischoff's wife Lori, yeah.
Bischoff got the fucking, he got the milk out of that one.
Yeah.
Kimberly Page is a snack.
Exactly. I'm sure there's a few people that got a turn riding that roller coaster.
Do you want to get your number 7 for the love of God?
My number 7 is Vince McMahon buying WCW in 2001. This changed the face. This changed the industry forever as we know it. I mean,
and that's the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Huh? Number 7.
That's the worst.
Well, what they're saying is, I think they're starting to criticize you for putting it on your worst moments list.
Yeah, I think it was a bad moment because it changed wrestling.
Yeah, it also ended the Monday Night Wars, and it basically ended people's, fascination with wrestling.
Yeah. it changed. It went into a different era, and for better or worse, I just think Vince McMahon buying WCW changed everything. I mean, it was probably going to go out of business anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good opinion. All right, my number seven. My second Starrcade main event: Bret Hart versus Goldberg, Starrcade '99. This was a doozy. They tried to recreate the Montreal Screwjob, which I fucking hate it when anybody does that because it's been overdone to death. Besides The Rock and Mankind, I think that worked in Survivor Series 98. But, yeah, trying to recreate something like that, especially with Bret, it was one of Bret's last matches, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Goldberg super kicked him and fucking gave him a concussion. So Goldberg hurt him because Goldberg's a fucking abortion in the ring. And it was just a bad match. You know, it could have been so much more. And for a Starrcade, you know, this match had a lot of hype behind it. And WCW was kind of already in the toilet. So they kind of needed this to be something, and it wasn't. So, and Roddy Piper was involved, and love Roddy Piper, but this whole thing sucked.
Well, I'm going to look at the whole Starrcade show, and this whole Bret Hart and Goldberg thing, it was an accident, what Goldberg did, obviously. And, Bret, you know, getting kicked in the head. But I think, like, the worst part about this whole thing is the next night when they formed NWO 2000. And what came out of that when they had the Goldberg-Bret Hart rematch. But, yeah, no, this was a – I think I've seen this match, like, once or twice. But, yeah, you're right. This just sucked.
Yeah. So – yeah, this sucked.
Wow, man.
You want to get into the fan? You want to get into the fan?
Yeah, it's my number seven. It's Vince buying WCW.
It's the same as yours?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, well, that's easy. Clint, you're number six?
Well, my number six was just talked about just now because that was my next match on the list. Let's talk. Was Goldberg, you know, Bret Hart. That was my number six.
The fact that we all think alike is just scary.
That was my what. It was also. I do want to add one to it after watching that. You do realize Owen had just like passed away, so it's like Bret's. It's like getting back to. True wrestling after the mourning of his brother's death. And then have a match like because the match was actually supposed to be delayed because he called him out and then he had the accident. Had the accident which postponed it all the way out to Starrcade.
Wow.
Which to me shouldn't have never gone now. I think once something like that would have happened, that's a good idea, but you don't need to, like, recreate a storyline like that. And then continuing on once everybody starts on. I mean, move on, give it out to new talents or whatnot.
Right.
I agree with that.
All right, you want to get your number six, Doug?
Okay, my number six is... A moment, I don't think this is going to be on anybody else's list, but I hated it. Rey Mysterio Jr. unmasking at Super Bowl IX.
Yeah, get into it while you didn't like it.
All right, so anybody that knows, like, the Mexican wrestling culture, or the culture of the luchadors, knows that... The mask is like a tradition, and it's like it's part of the culture. And when you lose your mask, like
that's almost like the end of a wrestler's career because, you know, it exposes – you lose your identity. And Rey Mysterio is very proud of his heritage. And the fact that Bischoff kind of booked it to where, you know, he had to lose his mask. I mean, that's what drew people to the luchadors on Nitro anyway, or in WCW anyway, is because they liked the masks. Because they were very colorful masks at that time. Yeah. I don't agree when he made Juventud take off the mask, although I think it made Juventud better.
Yeah.
But Mysterio, I don't think it did anything for him.
No.
And it was a lose-lose situation. Either in this match, it was Conan and Rey Mysterio versus Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. It was supposed to be Kevin Nash and Lex Luger, but Luger came down with some kind of an injury, which, then they had to put Scott Hall in the match, and Scott Hall just had a barn burner of a match earlier in the night with Roddy Piper. And by the way, this is like right around the time where Scott Hall was having more demons, so he was half in the fucking bag.
Was it really a bar burner? Because you seemed sarcastic.
Very sarcastic. It was a no-win situation anyway, because if Hall and Nash lost, then Elizabeth would have gotten her head shaved. And nobody wants to see a bald. And nobody wanted to see a bald Elizabeth.
No.
Especially, you know, a 13-year-old me who had been fantasizing about this woman ever since he was about 4 years old.
You're gonna look like you do now.
Yeah. So, I don't think she'd be this fat though. We wouldn't know what she'd look like. Actually, no, I'm not going to get into that. We're gonna stop there because I'm not going to make any comments that will get us in trouble.
That's the first.
I like Lex Luger. That's the only reason why I'm stopping. But no, I mean, it was just, I don't agree with it. I don't agree with Bischoff thinking of all the luchadors need to lose their masks.
Yeah,
it was stupid.
Crap.
It was stupid. It should have never happened. I agree with Juventud having to take his mask off because it made him better. Because I do think he got better after that. But Ray, it did nothing for him.
And poor Ray's had to deal with the same storyline over and over and over again. Like, give it a rest with
yeah.
the mask shit, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm so sick of seeing them take that thing off of them. Doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you do it once. When you take the mask off of a wrestler once and they already know what the hell you look like when you take it off repeatedly, it's just like the tradition is basically, like, the tradition has already basically been broken.
Yeah.
So leave it alone and just keep the mask on. He should probably just fucking super glue it to his face.
Eric, you want to get into your number six?
My number six is the WCW World Championship Hot Potato in 2000. There was 18 title changes by halfway point and 25 total in all year. An average of 2 title changes per month. I mean, I couldn't even name all the champions that were held that title in 2000. I mean, 2 of them made my list, but we'll get into that later. Obviously.
Well, I mean, that's not really a
yeah.
moment, though. I mean, we can count it, but...
Yeah, I mean... I guess it's a big moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's
a big moment.
That's 18. That's 25 moments in one, basically.
And
yeah.
we were already talking about Arquette winning the title. a lot of those title changes are moments in their own right.
That's true. Yeah.
But we'll still count it. Because we'll
okay.
fuck that.
Is that?
I do agree. That was ridiculous. And here's the thing. The hot potato worked in WWE when Russo was writing it. He made it work because it made like anything could happen. But it just didn't work in WCW because that wasn't the way they were. He tried to make the Attitude Era in WCW and it failed.
Exactly.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, WCW was already sinking. I bringing in Russo basically already, you know, bringing in Russo basically helped further along the iceberg.
Yeah.
And it was just like the whole hot potato thing. Like, I can understand, you know, like Chris Benoit winning the title. No, that was okay. I was fine with Sid winning the title.
Yeah.
Okay. Jeff Jarrett, no. Paige, it's okay. Arquette,
yeah.
Booker, I was fine with.
Yeah.
Nash didn't really care at that point. Scott Steiner was fine because I got to look at Medasia. But like other than that, it's just like who really gives a rat's ass?
I agree.
Exactly.
So my number six, because to be a fucking hypocrite, my number six is a bunch of moments. It's a whole pay-per-view. So I guess I probably shouldn't give you shit. But sold out. Because this is, I couldn't just make this one moment because this whole thing is dog shit. Except for Eddie Guerrero and X-Pac, or six, in the ladder match. That was good. Rest of the pay-per-view was terrible. It proved why NWO should have been a faction of 3 to 4 people and not a whole brand. Absolutely bad.
And this was sold out.
Your list,
what year?
No. Oh, okay. 97.
I think you cut off when you said it. That's why.
You hear me now, though?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, but yeah. It was just a bad pay-per-view. The Steiner brothers and the Outsiders were okay. It just was bad. It wasn't good. There wasn't much to it. You know, it just... The NWO was still really kicking, but to me, this is a back step. And some of the guys that were in NWO at that time, like Wall Street, Jeff Jarrett, had no fucking Scott Norton. Like, come on. It's ridiculous. What's the fan vote?
The fan vote is Eric Bischoff announcing Mick Foley won the title, WWF title, on an episode of WCW when Mick Foley won it on a taped Raw. He announced it before it aired on WWF television. That way people wouldn't watch it.
Tony Schiavone said that would put some butts in seats.
I think that kind of changed the course of direction. So,
oh, they lost 800,000 viewers that night.
Exactly.
Here's the thing, and I want to kind of backtrack to Sold Out 97 for a second. Eddie Guerrero versus Six was the best match on that card. And here's the thing. They had the Steiner brothers win the tag titles from the Outsiders, and then two nights later, Bischoff basically told the Steiners, no, you're giving them the belts back to Hall and Nash. To me, it's not on my list, but that could be considered a bad moment. It's like, why the fuck are you going to do the title change if you're just going to give the belts back to Hall and Nash? That's when I really started to hate Bischoff, is when he would just give them back to Hall and Nash.
No, we're still doing the other one now.
And, like, as far as Bischoff, or as far as Tony Schiavone announcing Mick Foley's title win, that was just stupid. And Bischoff, I think, realized how stupid it was after he did. Well, actually, you know, he may not have realized how stupid it was, because once he saw, because once he probably saw the fallout of what would happen later on his show, he's probably thinking, he's like, okay, a lot of people missed that because I directed them over to Foley's title change. So nobody knows that I did something really stupid.
Yeah.
So it was dumb because they lost 800,000 viewers, but that's 800,000 less viewers that had to see what I'm sure what we're going to talk about in a little while.
Okay. Quiddith, you want to get into your number five?
Quiddith?
I don't know.
Hold on. He dropped? Oh, he dropped.
Let me, like, huh?
Hi, Clint. Oh,
Quiddith, number five.
Yeah, no. Can you hear me? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't know you dropped out.
Yeah. No, I said, like the induction using the warrior as like a venting anti superhero to Hogan, haunting of his past and all that other stuff. I wasn't a big fan of that.
Yeah,
so the
I agree with that. It was bad.
Yeah, especially the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's your number five?
Yeah, the uses of the Warriors, number five.
Okay. All right. All right. My number five is Sting getting set on fire at the Great American Bash 2000.
Wow.
This is where the New Blood versus Millionaires Club really started taking a turn for the worse for me. Of setting Sting on fire, which is stupid. First of all, a human torch match where the winner has to set the loser on fire. That is really stupid.
Oh, come on.
Wait. Before you do that, before you say that, if you say a human torch match is fire, then how do you feel about the Inferno match where the loser is also set on fire? The only difference is the rings around it in fire compared to just you're just all madly doing it yourself.
Well, here's the thing. Like, the person wasn't, like, in the Inferno match, it was just one body part that was set on fire. Like, Sting basically was set, like, you know, it was engulfed in flames.
And the original idea for the Inferno match was genius because it had to do with Kane. And that's his whole storyline. From what I remember, Sting never as a childhood got stuck in a burning building. I mean, and if he has, and I'm wrong, I apologize. But that match was specifically made for Kane, and yeah, they've done other Inferno matches, but that's just because it was so popular the first time. I think the Human Torch match was just Vince Russo trying to take his old shit.
And also, true, he's trying to make Vampiro looked like a sick freak. I mean, he had Vampiro for a couple of weeks carry a can of gasoline with him. The Monday before, he tried to set one of Scott Steiner's women on fire, which, you know, was creepy. And, you know, it was a damn shame because that was a good-looking woman. I mean, she didn't get set on fire, but if she would have, it's a damn shame because that's a good-looking woman. She has no. She should not be roasted like a pig.
No.
More to say about this?
Just the fact that if you're going to set somebody on fire, it should have been Mark Madden.
All right, Eric, you want to get your number five?
Yep. My number five is Vince Russo. We already talked about this. Vince Russo winning the WCW heavyweight title. on episode of Nitro against Booker T.
We'll get to my number five then, since we already talked about that. And my number five is something I don't think is on anyone else's list. But the pay-per-view is on other people's list. Because at Bash at the Beach 2000, a lot of people think that the worst moment was the whole thing at the end, right, with Hogan?
Well, and that was
well, that
in
wasn't
the middle
the end.
Of the show, yeah.
Yeah, but with Hogan and Russo.
Russo.
What I think was the worst moment was the graveyard match with the Demon of Vampiro. Which, and this has been a narrative so far in the show that we haven't really dealt with too much. Your pig. We haven't really dealt with too much. And it's him, it's Russo taking his old stuff and trying to make it work in WCW. The Buried Alive match worked because of The Undertaker, and that writing made it smart and good. Now, a graveyard match between Vampiro and the Demon, what the fuck? It's stupid. Vampiro was awesome, but he was a victim of shitty booking, and the Kiss Demon, why the fuck was that even a thing? It was literally a demon that just dressed like a member of the Kiss. And I don't even know if he was a demon. I think he just might have been a guy.
Right.
And it just sucked. It was bad. He had no need to be there. You know, he never drew a dime. And it sucks because Vampiro he kind of has gone down as a legend underground-wise, but he really should have been a mainstream legend or a superstar. But shit like this is the reason he wasn't.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
And I agree with this moment being put on a list because, I mean, it was shitty. And I get what they were trying to do with Vampiro. They were trying to make him into like a, you know, into a version of The Undertaker. But it wasn't going to work. And Vampiro was a cool character. But like you said, he was a victim of shitty booking.
Yeah, because he wasn't the Undertaker, you know?
Oh, yeah, I could tell. Well, he's shorter than the Undertaker.
He's shorter, he's fat. Vampiro is his own thing, and it should have been booked that way. And really, this and what you said, the Human Torch, and a lot of other things, it just proves that Russo was such a one-trick pony. Because this is him, two instances now, trying to take something that he did before and make it work in a whole different company. And it didn't.
Oh, exactly. I mean, he's not necessarily a pony. He's more of a jackass.
All right, Eric, you want to get in the fan vote number five?
It's actually David Arquette winning the WCW Heavyweight title on that Thunder. So we already talked about that.
Already touched on that. Clint, it's your number four. We're in the top four now.
All right, top four. Mine is actually going to be the formation of the Wolfpack of the NWO. This is where I thought, like, the NWO expanding to another faction to take out WCW was just getting way out of hand. And the idea of just having another NWO rival another, the red and white, right, with a black and white, and then also with WCW. It's just starting to take, it was getting out of hand, and they took something so good, and then they just totally ruined it. I mean, killed off.
Too much, yeah.
Too much. It was just too much.
Okay, I can agree with that to a point. I actually thought the Wolfpack was cool.
I mean, I'm not saying it wasn't cool, but I'm just saying at the time, it's just like, it's just too much. I mean, you have the NWO all together. I understand. Then you see the crash formation, and it was in, like, the NWO itself was falling apart, feuding with each other. So what they do is, hey, we're just going to make another NWO group to rival this NWO group. It's stupid.
Yeah, and Sting looked like you threw a fucking tomato in his face. Sting looked like a bottle of ketchup.
Yeah. I can understand what Quinnip is saying.
I agree with Quinnip. I know Doug doesn't, though. So
I mean, I love the Wolf Pack too, but
in hindsight, especially like when they turned them heel, when they turned the Wolf Pack heel, and you still had the two factions of the NWO. You had the NWO Wolf Pack, and then you had the NWO Hollywood, which is the NWO B team. Then it got really stupid. But as the Wolf Pack, as baby faces, I still thought it was cool. Especially like when Sting and Luger joined, because Sting and Luger were baby faces.
Yeah.
And you had Sting and Luger and Nash and Conan, because I liked Conan at the time.
But my point is this, is that you're throwing away, you're taking a back of what the NWO was supposed to do. The NWO was brought in to take out WCW and make it into like an own separate company. They started falling apart. Exactly what TNA did with the Ace and the Ace. Once they started falling apart, at least Ace and the Ace, they just abandoned right away. The A's decided to go take some stupidity to a whole new level.
Right. So I can agree with what you said, but like as a kid, as a teenager, I thought the Wolfpack was cool. And again, like I mean, other groups have done it before. I mean, I know this is probably something Eric doesn't want to hear, but I'll say it anyway. Bullet Club. There's like 50 versions of the Bullet Club. There was like 50 versions of the Bullet Club in New Japan at one time.
Yeah.
It was three.
You say three, I say 50. Still, it was too many.
All right, Doug, get into your number four.
My number four goes all the way back to 1991. The Chamber of Horrors match at the 1991 Halloween Havoc.
That's a good one.
Ooh.
All right. It was Big Van Vader, Cactus Jack, Abdullah the Butcher, and the Diamond Stud. We know him now as Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, versus Elegante, the Steiner Brothers, and Sting. And unfortunately, this is, what, the third time I put a moment involving Sting on my list?
Yeah, poor fuck.
And I'm a huge Sting fan.
What a guy.
Okay.
I'm a huge Sting fan. You can't blame the star. You just blame the booking and the company. That's why.
I'm blaming Dusty on this one. Because this was Dusty Rhodes' idea. He thought it was a good idea. And here's the thing. The object of this match is to put your opponent in an electric chair and pull the lever, which was a cool visual, but here's the thing. The lever was down. The lever fell down in the middle of the match. Mick Foley had to go push the lever up and then pull it back down in order for this thing to work. The camera caught it. The camera shot the whole fucking thing.
Damn.
They shot the lever falling down, and then they shot Mick pulling the lever up and then putting it back down. So, as a 5-year-old watching this match, I thought it was cool. And I thought it was a little scary at that point. Oh my God, I can't believe they're being And my dad's sitting there watching this because my dad caught everything. My dad's sitting there watching this thinking that I'm completely stupid for buying into this shit. I mean, being the fact that I was 5 years old apparently didn't matter. I mean, hell, dad probably thought I needed to get my driver's license by the time I was 7. But it's just like, as a kid, it's just like, oh my God, like you think this is a cool one. Watching it now, it's just like, I even question how smart I was at that age. More than I question how smart I am now.
Like,
Eric, what's your number four?
My number four is David Arquette winning the WCW title on Thunder. But we already talked about that.
Yeah.
Well, my number four, Eric stole in the beginning of the show, is capitalizing on Scott Hall's alcoholism. So we can skip that and go to the fan vote.
The fan vote? Yeah, it's the finger poke of doom. On January 4th, 1999. Did we already talk about this, or should we go get into it more? This is on my list too.
I'll make it. Go ahead, Clintus.
No, I'm saying might as well, because that was on my list too. So that's my number three. So you might as well just put it all together.
Yeah, it's my number three too. It's my number three.
Okay, so with the finger poke of doom, and it's actually my number two. So, here's the thing about the finger poke of doom. You advertise for a week that we're going to get Goldberg versus Nash the rematch in Atlanta, which is where Goldberg played football in the Georgia Dome. Right? And
yep.
Also where he won the title in the first place.
Yeah.
So we're thinking, okay, repeat. They're going to give him the belt back. Then they run this thing where Goldberg gets arrested because Elizabeth accuses him of aggravated stalking. Okay.
Anyway, that's the thing.
He filed a police report saying, accusing him of aggravated stalking. And the first part about this whole thing, like when the cops said, when Goldberg asked who accused me of this, and they said Elizabeth Levetsky, and Goldberg goes, "Who?" And and the one cop who Goldberg has known all his life goes, "Bill, that's Miss Elizabeth." And he goes, "Okay, I barely know her. She works out at the same gym that I do, but I don't even look at her." But then, like, kind of fast forwarding, and we get the Hogan versus Nash match, which, you know, a lot of people have wanted to see that match, right?
Yeah. Did that happen before?
No. Well, it would happen finally afterwards.
Yeah.
But, like, we get the match, and it's just like this finger poke. Hogan wins the title, and it's just like, it was so fucking stupid. Because then, but you could see, like, the cracks in the storyline when every time they went back over to Elizabeth being in the police station, the cops would ask her over and over again, like, what happened. She would change her story every time. And then she'd be like, "Why do you guys keep asking me? I keep telling you." And the one cop goes, "Well, we keep asking you because your story changes every time we ask you." And it's just like, it was so dumb. And why Bischoff thought this was a good idea, I have no fucking clue. But I bet, like, he didn't necessarily think it was a bad idea, you know, telling Schiavone to, you know, tell people, "Oh, Mick Foley's going to win the world title on Raw," because that's 800,000 less people that had to watch that finger poke of shit. I mean, doom.
You want to get into it a little bit, Clinton, since that was your number three?
So, you want to talk about this a little bit since it's your number three?
Hold on. Hey,
oh, I'm sorry. What's up?
You want to talk about
the finger poke a little bit since it's your number three?
I mean, you hit on every part of the hit on everything you did.
There's nothing else I had to add on. You did a great job. But
yeah,
I'm just saying,
good job,
you took off and ran on with it.
Nope. Yeah, I didn't realize that was a set. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, my number three we already got into. It's Russo winning the title.
Oh, wow.
Well, my number three was. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah,
my number three was Vince. Yeah, so.
Okay. I have the Shane Douglas, Billy Kidman, Viagra on a pole match.
I was wondering if somebody was going to put this on the list.
I actually I didn't mind the match. Well, it was a 4-minute match, so the match blew. It just felt like it felt like such a burial of Billy Kidman, and I think that's why I don't like it, because I've always liked Billy Kidman, and it just felt like they were burying him, and they're like, haha, this guy's gonna fuck your girlfriend, and it just felt stupid and mean-spirited to me. I mean, Billy Kidman, and I swear, and this is where I'm gonna have a dumb moment, because I'm gonna say something stupid, he has have a 10-foot, because there is no way that guy just pulled Tori Wilson on looks alone. Billy Kidman looks like your typical Jew, and for some reason, please, did I cut out? I hope I did.
No. Oh, we heard everything.
No, but Billy Kidman looks like a fucking idiot. No offense. Like, but he's not like... But Tori Wilson's like a 15 out of 10, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the fact that he got divorced from her.
Yeah, and he divorced her. He was getting free milk out of a cow. And he divorced her. And, you know, actually, that's my number three top worst moments, that he fucking divorced Tori Wilson, that piece of shit.
You know we're going to get sued by Kenny Lehman now, right? Because you took one of his lines.
Eric,
what's the fan vote?
The fan vote is Vince Russo being a top booker and top writer.
Yeah, it was bullshit.
Oh yeah.
It's all different kind of moments. So, then.
All right, Clintus, you got your number two.
Yeah, my number two was already talked about, was the whole NWO sold out pay per view. That had to be the worst pay per view ever.
I agree. Doug? Okay, my number two was actually already talked about as well. It is the finger poke of doom. So
you said a lot about it already.
Yep. So next.
Eric?
My number two is goes back to my number 10 is Jeff Jarrett, that led up to number 10. Jeff Jarrett laying down for Hulk Hogan in WCW Bash at the Beach 2000. That was the last appearance of Hogan on a WCW program. It's the last time we ever saw Hogan on WCW.
Wow. I won't. Yeah. Russo for defamation of character, which is that even a real thing? A defamation of character lawsuit.
Yes.
I really don't think it's a real thing, or else we would have been hit with about 50 of them since the start of our show.
You never know.
All right. Well, my number two, it's very unknown. So. I didn't even know, but on the July 5th Nitro, 1999, there was an unfortunate moment where Randy Savage, by the way, in this, look up this clip at some point, Eric. He's wearing the same jacket that Chris Jericho debuted in. So I just find that funny because, I mean, the sparkly jacket looks cool on Chris Jericho. I don't know if Macho Man made it work as well. I love Macho Man, but that's not the worst moment, by the way. There's more. But he had this thing going with Gorgeous George. I don't know. Doug, you know Gorgeous George.
Yeah.
The lady. And the storyline, they were together. And Kevin Nash had done this vignette where he was talking smack about how he was going to take her away from him. And Tori Wilson was with him. Now, this is the end of Nitro. Macho Man barges backstage, and Kevin Nash is nowhere to be found. It's just Tori Wilson and Gorgeous George. He, and I'm not lying to you, Macho Man smacks Tori Wilson in the face. So domestic abuse, definitely something that they can't get away with now. Then, and he was supposed to be a heel, so he was supposed to be a bad person, but it was really taking it to a new level. He ripped Gorgeous George and threw her in the hall, ripped her shirt off and then threw her in the hallway. And then he came back to Tori. For some reason, he did it. He plucked Tori's nose, which is kind of funny, but so he picked her up by the nose and then he balled his fist up at her. And then it cut to blank. Now, my big problem with this is obviously the domestic abuse. That's not really something that can be an angle because it's too touchy of a subject. And Tori no-sold the slap. She's laughing. I don't know if it was an audible or what, but she was laughing at Randy while he was doing this promo. So, you know, if you're getting paid a good amount of money, take the fucking slap, Tori. I mean, come on. She's beautiful. I mean, I just said a bunch of compliments about her, but, you know, maybe Billy Kidman was right. I mean, she was laughing. She was, and it was just stupid. It was bad. You want to get to the fan vote number two?
Number two is the Scott Hall real life problems in the storyline. You already touched on that.
All right, boys, number one. Here we go. Clintith?
Halloween Havoc, Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior. That's my number one. And I want to tell you, that killed me as a fan because I was not watching. When I heard that match was announced, and I looked forward to a rematch, just seeing that and how badly it turned out. Because I'm thinking that WCW finally did something. They're actually going to take something good. A Hogan Warrior gives me the rematch I've been dying to see and kill it. I'm done.
Yeah, Hogan's trying to throw fire was hilarious.
Yeah.
All right, get your number two.
Well, let me just say this real quick about Hogan versus Warrior. That was a pay-per-view in itself that, like, had some good, had some bad. This, of course, was the very bad of the pay-per-view. So, but my number one is actually, I don't think this is going to be anybody else's number one. My number one is Mark Madden joining the WCW commentary team. That fat waste of skin. For those of you that don't know who Mark Madden is, good for you're lucky people. He got a job working on WCW's website. He would always do like the online interviews during the pay-per-view. I mean, this guy, he was fucking useless. I mean, he was brought in when they took Bobby Heenan off of Nitro because Heenan was losing interest in the product, they put Mark Madden on. He was a heel announcer, and he would always shit on the baby faces, which is one thing. But this guy was just fucking awful. And he is, you know, I actually started to hate WCW around this point just because I didn't want to have to hear him talk. And he's from Pittsburgh, too. Why is Pittsburgh producing shitty WWE announcers?
They fucking give us, or not WWE announcers, but shitty wrestling announcers in general. They give us this fat piece of shit, and now we get stuck with this other cross-eyed tattooed piece of garbage, Corey Graves.
I didn't know Corey was from Pennsylvania. Wow.
I mean, it's bad enough that the Pittsburgh Steelers had Antonio Brown on their team for a while, another piece of shit. But Pittsburgh, you really need to watch who comes out of that state. I think you people need to start legalizing abortions more.
Jesus Christ. All right, Eric. Get me number one.
I'm going to lock the warehouse, Amber.
My number one is, we talked about it earlier, it's Eric Bischoff revealing Mick Foley winning WWF title on the WCW Nitro.
Why
are
you watching this
one?
Right, right,
the same episode is Finger of Poker Doom.
I'll get into
my number
one.
One.
My number one might surprise you guys because it is looked back pretty badly, but not as one of the worst, but to me it is. Hogan and Sting, Starrcade 97. To me, that was the big moment.
Yeah, I think a lot of people.
It was their big moment. It was their big moment, and they really fucked it up. And it was Hogan's fault because he has such an ego. And it just made no sense. It wasn't a slow count, or it wasn't a fast count. Nick Patrick counted fine, and then they just made Sting look weak. They made Bret Hart look like an idiot. It really, they had such a great year, and that should have been the perfect cap off, but it wasn't.
Well, here's the problem with that is, one, when Sting showed up, Sting was not in ring shape. So that's when automatic, well, first of all, Hogan was just looking for any excuse to make the match look like shit, because Hogan did not want to do a clean job for anybody. I mean, all the times he did blowjobs for Bischoff, they probably weren't even clean. Okay? Hogan is not one to do a clean job. So he was looking for any excuse to fuck this finish up. Because Hogan, let's face it, I know he's a childhood hero of many, but Hogan's a horrible human being.
Yeah, he is.
All right. And I know if anybody disagrees with me about that, that's fine. You're entitled to your opinion. I'll just be the one that's right. But he's a horrible human being, and he just – it was a bad finish. It was a bad finish. I don't blame Nick Patrick. Nick Patrick was told by Hogan, hey, the finish changed. But nobody said anything to anybody else. Hogan used his politicking. And his powerful dick licking on Bischoff to basically make sure that nobody looked good. If Hogan's not going to look good, nobody else is going to look good. And it was bullshit.
Right.
I agree.
Exactly.
Was that the fan vote?
That was you.
Oh. No. What's the fan vote?
Vince Russo winning the WCW heavyweight title. All
right. Well, we talked about that. Doug, you want to – anything else?
No, I think that's – I mean, we basically went through all 10 – everybody went through all 10 of our moments.
That was our top 10 WCW moments. Eric, you got anything else?
No. I think that was a good show, guys. It was some of our list was kind of the same. There were some good different moments, so surprising moments on the list too. Interesting. Always interesting moments. Is there even a top 10 best moments we could do?
Of course there is.
So WCW, yeah, we can probably...
Don't disrespect WCW like that.
No.
WCW had their fine share of moments.
Yeah, I think we have got one down low. Maybe next month. Maybe next month.
Yeah, we can. But I'll see you guys next week.
No.
But yeah, so remember next.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, Clint, you're probably not going to do the show next week, right?
I'll be work. I just got called into work on Sunday, so I'm not going to be on next week at all.
Oh, so you're not
okay.
Even doing the show this Sunday?
Yeah, I'm not doing the service Sunday.
Okay. All right. So next Friday night, we're going to be doing our next edition of Fantasy Warfare. So, and I'll release more details about that during the week.
All right.
So
Clint will be on. He'll be back next Sunday, right? Probably.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
Thanks, guys. If
there's
anything
else.
Thank
you.
Nope.
No, I think we're good.
You guys have a good night. See you Sunday.
See you.
See you later. All right, everybody enjoy Double or Nothing tomorrow.
All right.
Of course. It's going to be a fun show.
Bye.
Later.
Later.